WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The fired head of the CDC, Susan Menares, is testifying before the Senate Health Committee right now. She says she told Secretary Kennedy there were some lines she refused to cross.
I could not pre-approve recommendations without reviewing the evidence, and I had no basis to fire scientific experts. He told me he had already spoken with the White House several times about having me removed.
In the UK, horse-drawn carriages delivered the president, the first lady, the king and queen, and other top royals to Windsor Castle as President Trump's three-day state visit gets underway. Markets bracing for today's announcement from the Fed on interest rates. CBS's Jill Schlesinger.
The labor market is deteriorating, and there's no doubt about that. But at the same time, we see prices are starting to edge higher because of those tariffs. I think the Fed is really going to focus on the labor market. We're expecting a quarter of a percentage point drop.
The Dow is up 261 points. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Air on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has signed an executive order requiring health insurance companies to continue covering the COVID-19 vaccine. The executive order was issued in response to eligibility changes from federal health agencies, with the FDA recommending the COVID vaccine only be covered for people over the age of 65 or with certain medical conditions. The executive order signed by Governor Evers calls on state health agencies to maintain vaccine access and requires them to respond publicly to further changes in federal vaccine policy. The Wisconsin State Assembly has passed a proposed bill that would effectively require state employees to return to in-person work full-time. The bill requires state employees to work in the office for at least 80% of their time. It passed 51-44 along party lines in the Republican-controlled State Assembly. Democratic lawmakers argued the bill would not help the state government operate more effectively, saying remote work options helped state agencies recruit and retain good workers from across Wisconsin and consolidate remaining physical workspaces. The St. Croix Economic Development Corporation is sharing the results of its recently conducted housing survey. According to the assessment released this week, the region is seeing strong population growth but declining vacancy rates and growing housing costs. The study found rental vacancy rates dropped to 1.4% in 2023, well below the healthy range of 5-7%. It also found that over 36% of renters and 23% of homeowners are cost-burdened, and the county will need nearly 4,600 new housing units by 2050. United Way St. Croix and Red Cedar Valleys has announced the distribution of nearly $300,000 in grant funding to nonprofits across the Northwest region. Eight organizations received a portion of the grant funding, including Amory Regional Medical Center, Arbor Place in Menominee, and Western Wisconsin Health in Baldwin. The funding is meant to support programs that focus on expanding healthcare access and services for children, as well as capital projects aimed at maintaining current hospitals and constructing new facilities. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The magic number is 7. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers host the LA Angels again tonight. Last night, the crew with a 9-2 win. Christian Yelich, a 2-run homer in the 4th. Now, 7 is the Brewers' magic number to clinch the division, but Yelly says it's still too early for all that right now.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to focus on winning that night, like not even thinking about like the magic number. We need to just keep stacking wins and playing good baseball, and that'll take care of itself. You can't do that in one night. And you start looking ahead, then things can get away from you a little bit.
College football, the Badgers getting ready to host Maryland Saturday at Camp Randall, kickoff 11 a.m. NFL, Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed confirming he's now had surgery to repair his broken collarbone and foot fracture. Meanwhile, Christian Watson says his new contract extension takes some pressure off as he tries to come back from that torn ACL.
For me, I mean, it was really just to, you know, take that pressure off of myself so I can kind of just go out there when I get back and just play free.
That's Packers wide receiver Christian Watson with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Still staying unseasonably warm today with highs climbing to the mid-80s. The chance of showers and storms returning by early evening. They do look to keep us damp through the night, leaving us tomorrow with mostly cloudy skies, highs cooler, flirting with 80, and more showers and storms by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome actor and Appleton native son, actor Mike McGill, whose credits include Shameless and Bosch, and syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842.
I've never heard you say that.
Oh, we say it fast
eight,
a lot.
Five. We need, you know what, from now on then, we need to pull some dramatic music in the 855-752-4842.
See, that stands out. We're trying to set it apart a little bit. Or 855-75-CIVIC. That works too. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. We live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He has been our guest numerous times in the past, and we are delighted to have him back. James Vanderloo is the head at OEC Group Milwaukee, which is a global freight forwarder and a leading company in trans-Pacific trade. Good morning, James. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning, Jane, Greg, and Calvin. It's great to be with you guys. Hey, I'm doing okay. I'm not going to complain. We're almost going to make it through the hump today. So,
well, that's
there
good.
There you go.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. It's hump day.
Yeah.
Let's talk tariffs and global trade and supply chains. Supply chains, we learned a lot about, I want to say, during the COVID shutdown. And that was the first time that I was made aware of just how complicated it is to get things from point A to point B and all the spots in between. And now with the tariffs, because there is still a lot of uncertainty out there. Is that accurate?
Yes, and that's sort of the biggest thing still is really the uncertainty. I try to make it, I've tried to use this analogy. It's not 100%, but it kind of makes sense for most people. Just imagine you have to pay your taxes that are due today. You know that you probably have to pay more than what you think, but you don't quite know exactly what that is. And sort of the rules are changing day by day, but you're still expected to be submitting your your tax payment to the government today. So otherwise it's late and they'll come after you and tell you that you need to have more. So it's that uncertainty is kind of, I would say been the predominating thing this year. That's the issue that most people have. I think that if you talk with most companies, they'd rather just sort of know what the game plan is going forward and then just go by those rules versus just kind of having to reassess, every other week or whenever there's an extension or, do I ship now? Do I wait? Those have kind of been the issues that I've been seeing a lot of this year.
But I think that's a really good analogy that you made, James. Because again, okay, today I know I'm going to have to pay $500 more in my taxes, so I put that aside.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and then 3 days later, it's only going to be $250. Well, now do I spend that $250 that I have extra, or do I keep it in case in another 3 days it goes up to $1,000 I'm going to owe on my taxes?
Mm-hmm.
You cannot plan. We've talked about this so many times about how businesses hate uncertainty.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of been that's the issue that we speak to. And again, these businesses are resilient. They are working very hard to
work with companies like ours to figure out, okay, what's the best way I can do? Can I use these provisions within free trade agreements? Can I use these things within agriculture to kind of mitigate a lot of the tariff impact? And, you know, we've had to learn a lot in addition to our customers. That being said, they've had to focus on these things versus focusing on how to grow their business or ordering more things or focusing on selling their products. So again, you know, regardless of sort of whether you believe in the tariffs or not, that's just something we've sort of seen sort of a day to day is just what the companies are having to prioritize and what they're needing to like divert their resources to during these tariff negotiations.
And it's something for me, it felt like, you know, as I'm not a person who I am a person affected by the tariffs and as much as I am a consumer, but I don't work directly with them on either export or importing. And I would just always in my head figure, oh, well, James and the people in his industry, they know what's going on. They'll get a sheet every day saying, this is what you do, this is what you don't do. But really when it comes down to it, we're all sort of in it. Because we do this show, people will say to me, well, what's going on with the tariffs? I'm like, I have no idea because that's just it. Like one day we hear 50%. Okay. We know this country is getting 50%. 3 days later, that's on hold. So it kind of feels like now we're all in this together, whether you're in the industry or outside of it, and we just have to just wait for, to lack of better terms, wait for the whims of the government.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing is you know, everyone's like, you know, can you point to a demonstrable effect that the tariffs have had? And it's kind of tough to say because in our industry, things take just such a long time. It takes, you know, 30, 40 days to even transport something. Before that, you have to put in your order with the supplier overseas, which can take, depending on the product, 30 to 60 days. So all of these things take a really long time to play out. I think you're now just starting to really see the beginning effects of kind of how the tariffs have acted with, in the market. So there was, you know, it's sort of a tale of two cities. You're going to see some numbers coming out of like Los Angeles saying, wow, we've never handled this amount of, or this is, you know, we're near record numbers in terms of volume. The caveat to that is that the National Retail Federation and a lot of industries are projecting, you know, a very slow end of the year. They're projecting that basically by December, container volumes are going to be near what they were of lows in 2023. So, you know, I think we're just starting to see that beginning phase. A lot of companies decided when there was that first round of pauses, well, I better bring in everything that I need for the year.
Now,
I don't know what's going to happen
right
after the fact. You might have some people that held off, but traditionally, there's a little bit of a rush at the end of the year for Chinese New Year, or Lunar New Year, which is in March in 2026. So typically, there's a rush. We don't really know if we're going to be seeing that rush that there normally is during that time. So I would say that, you know, we're really starting to see that effect of where these tariffs are in terms of the ordering practices, and we'll really kind of need to, unfortunately, wait a little bit longer to see, you know, how these tariffs are actually affecting the entire economy as a whole.
If you're just joining us, James Vanderloo is our guest. He's the head of the OEC Group. Milwaukee, they do a lot of imports, exports, things like that, and we're talking about tariffs. Is there a deadline coming up in November, James, as far as tariffs?
Correct. So there's a few deadlines. So a few months ago, they said, hey, we've got something planned with China. It's been crickets ever since. We're kind of still waiting for some direction on that. You'll hear, I think yesterday, you've heard there was some type of breakthrough with involving TikTok and all of these things. So again, we've really had to broaden our understandings of what these trade agreements are meant to sort of accomplish. But yeah, so there's a deadline coming up in November. And that will be the one, those will be sort of the bigger ones. And what we've, I think when I came on here and basically told, when we first started talking about this, you're starting to see some of these tariff agreements sort of work themselves out in some ways. And that's, I think that's been sort of the surprising thing that we learned from some of the people that work in Washington is like, you know, how many of these countries have actually been coming to try to get a deal made. And I think they're just kind of, obviously, this is taking a lot longer than I think some people maybe anticipated. My thought was that this is obviously a very huge task, and therefore it's probably going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
But We're starting to see, you know, some of these deadlines come in. The 10% is, you know, it's going to affect businesses, but it might not affect their ordering behavior. When you get up to that 20 to 25%, that's when it really starts affecting companies' bottom lines. And then, so of course, you're starting to see, you know, these tariff rates fall in that like 15 to 20%. So it's going to be hurting people, I think, quite a bit, probably near the maximum of what their threshold would be. And it's, you know, I think these things will slowly kind of trickle in, you know, the closer we get to November. But of course, there could always be another extension or something that we just don't really know.
90 deals in 90 days. I seem to recall that was one of the big things that was touted right after the results of the election. 90 deals in 90 days. Boom, boom, boom. It's going to get done so fast. Everybody can't wait. We're waiting.
Yeah.
We're still waiting.
Yeah. Like I said, there's been a couple. And then the most surprising one that we saw was obviously the 50% one that got hit with India due to their purchasing of Russian oil. That was one that kind of, I think, caught people a little bit more off guard than they were looking for, because for a while, India had sort of been an alternative to using China for a lot of the goods, which China obviously is the one that's penalized the most right now with the Section 301, the Section 232 steel and aluminum tariffs, and then the IEEPA, which is the sound that most customs brokers make every day when they see the new the new publications coming from the government. But that stands for the International Emergency and Economic Powers Act of 1977. So that's where that all comes from. So all of these things are stacking on top of each other. There's some cases where a couple of the tariffs will apply. There's some where all of them will apply. And it's just, you really have to dig deep. And they just keep on kind of like broadening the scope of what's included in these potential powers. And then we obviously, to make things even more confusing, talking about your deadline in November, you know, we have a Supreme Court case coming up to determine whether these are even constitutional in the first place or not. So,
well, there's something that I want to, and please tell me if this is incorrect, but I found this on the internet. Heard of it? It's a website called TradeCompliancerResourceHub.com, and it's basically a tariff tracker, and you can go country by country and see which country, what sort, so reciprocal or additional. You can see it says threatened, implemented, exempt, the percentages. So you can actually kind of, I found this today on the internet. Go look for it. But I will put that website in the show notes. So you can kind of, because that's the ultimately the problem, James, is that I don't know how many countries have tariffs. I don't know what's being threatened versus implemented versus exempt. So this will give you a nice rundown of what's going on. As far as I know, if James, you have a better resource, please let me know. But like, that's really what I think one of the most important things is to figure out, because, as you know, the president will say 200% on Tuesday, and then it'll be like 5%. We're good. And I guess the question I have, and you can answer this on the other side after we come back from our snack and water break, is just you said that everything runs slower because of everything that goes on in the industry. So therefore, it's hard to point to people who say, well, tell me how the tariffs are bad to begin with. How to point to things that are tangible and say, here are the things you asked for them, here they are, but also get people to understand that, yeah, we're not going to see everything right away. It's going to take months and months
for this to show up.
So like, pointing to those tangible effects and saying, right there, there's a thing, here's the start. You know, how do we, is it possible to do that still or yet, or are we still just, as you said, waiting?
We're going to continue our conversation with James Vanderloo. I want to ask you about what your clients say when they hear Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent say that American consumers don't pay tariffs. I want to hear about the number of spit takes that you've heard over the phone talking to clients when they hear the head of our Treasury Department say that obvious falsehood, because that's kind of what it is. Just throwing it out there. Also, we want to talk about, there is a new report this morning that came out in Bloomberg about U.S. home starts are the lowest since they've been in months, and what that's going to mean as well going forward. Stay with us. We're talking to James Vanderloo, head of the OEC Group Milwaukee. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A bipartisan bill banning members of Congress from owning or trading individual stocks has been introduced in the U.S. House. It appears the reform could pass due in no small part to a tax break sweetener just for members. For years, allegations have plagued members of Congress who allegedly traded stocks on the basis of inside information. The Brennan Center for Justice points to Senator Dianne Feinstein's February 2020 trades prior to pandemic-related market losses and Representative Rob Bresnahan's sale of hospital development bonds only a month after he voted to cut Medicaid and put those hospitals at risk of closure. September 3rd, Republican Representative Chip Roy introduced H.R. 5106, also called the Restore Trust in Congress Act, co-sponsored by Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and 15 others. The bill allows current members 180 days to divest of individual stocks, but allows investing in mutual funds, index funds, municipal bonds, and treasury bonds. But one critic writes in Forbes that the reform comes with a sweetheart deal, allowing members to divest and defer capital gains taxes until after they leave Congress, a huge gift to multimillionaire members. Both House Speaker Mike Johnson and House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries have signaled they will support the bill. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Kira Sabin, positive psychology midlife coach.
People cannot take away our joy. When I spend time with people I love, putting my time and energy in things that I love that I think are important, not much has really changed. If you are worried about LGBTQIA plus rights, go volunteer at that organization.
You know you're moving the cause forward, and that's great for our mental health.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinaire on Air. Jane Matinaire, Greg Bach, and Kellen Nader on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is the head of the OEC group in Milwaukee. James Vanderloo is here. We are talking tariffs. I just wanted to recap this a little bit from, again, our head of the Treasury Department, our Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, has claimed for months and months and months that tariffs are not paid by American consumers. Finally, in August, he was asked about this on MSNBC. So the tariff is paid in this country by the importer. Is that right? After initially saying, well, there could be substitutions. It could come from Argentina. It could come from Brazil. He was asked, who writes the check to the Treasury? Quote, well, the check is written to the person who receives it at the dock in the U.S. So that means, James, if I understand words, the importer, the person who is receiving the goods from overseas, they are the ones who write the check to the government.
That is absolutely correct. And I will even give the, you know, the devil is due and say where that idea comes from, where other countries pay tariffs. Where that idea comes from is this idea that then once the importer realizes that they have to pay a higher duty, they then have to go to their supplier overseas and have the and try to negotiate. And that's happening a lot too. So again, this idea of what are the companies spending their time on now? Well, they're spending their time on having to go back to China, India, all these other places where they've been had these relationships for, you know, in many cases several years, and renegotiate, say, hey, we're paying tens of thousands of dollars more for our products than we had in the past. You guys need to provide some relief to it. And there's a lot of cases where, especially in cases where China, where margins are already quite thin, where they don't really have much room to be able to negotiate that. But that's where that idea comes from. But in practice, it's absolutely not true. And obviously, the importer pays for the duty here.
And the therefore
pass it on.
Right. And the exporter may lower the price of their goods, which is where their hit comes. They may do that.
May. Correct.
But ultimately, correct, it is paid by the importer, and then that is passed on to the consumer. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Correct. Absolutely.
I could have told you that.
That was tariff class 101. Yeah. I just think it's important to keep explaining to folks because there has been a lot of misinformation out there from people who you would think would know better.
Absolutely.
I don't know any better. So,
this I mentioned before we went to the break that U.S. housing seen its biggest decline in since May. Housing starts are down. This is not good, because housing continues to be a big problem across the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're seeing that obviously in the materials and everything like that come over. You're starting to see that those aren't coming over in the same capacity that they have been in recent months, obviously, with the upstarts. Yeah, everything from my perspective is there's still, I think around a $4 million shortage in terms of what people are looking for. Prices continue to be near the highest they've ever been. I think you're seeing a little bit of a cooling off, which is, really kind of interesting from a standpoint. But if there are some, I think people are waiting maybe for the mortgage rates to decrease. I think maybe looking for an interest rate cut here soon. I don't know if that will, spur that up again. But we're seeing it in even the orders of the building materials, where you're not seeing those come in as much as in the past.
Well, we've got tariffs on lumber now coming in from Canada and all kinds of things related to the building industry. So,
and my final question to you for today, because I don't know if we'll have you on beforehand, but the holidays are right around the corner, whether we like it or not. They're months away, but they're, shopping will begin soon. Advertisements will begin soon. What, James, do you see will be affecting homes for the holidays as far as gift prices, not travel prices, but how will these tariffs be affecting our prices for the things we need to consume as consumers?
You're going to see some increases, marginal increases on most things that are coming in. And just so you, for your frame of reference, basically most retailers need to have their goods in either right now or very, very shortly after it. When you get into October, you're getting a little too late at that point. So right now is kind of the time where if you're not on the shelves, you're probably not going to be making it. I've been looking at sort of conflicting numbers as to what I think. Obviously, there's always a little bit of an optimism with holiday shopping. But kind of going back to your guys's point earlier is of like really determining like what is the effect of this. It's really hard because all of these additional costs, whether it's the inputs or whether it's the transportation, everything like that, all of that adds up kind of behind the scenes, where you can't really tie it to necessarily one tariff or another. It just all of these costs continuously adding up creates problems for businesses. And we'll see probably in the next few months whether the businesses are able to pay for all of this.
Well, and Brendan on the live stream actually says, yeah, the housing industry is going to be in a world of hurt because a big part of their labor force is gone.
Yeah.
So that's another thing to consider as well.
Mm-hmm. It's all costs going up for us, the American taxpayers. So, we always appreciate, James, you coming by and sharing the information you have, because it's great to break this down. We are not import exporters.
We are not.
We are import exporter adjacent.
This is the time to get into it, guys. It's really fun and captivating.
We were into imports exports for James before it was even cool.
Oh, yeah. I've been import exporting.
We've been talking tariffs for months now.
That's right. You guys probably know more than I do. Honestly.
Oh, boy.
That's absolutely not true. James Vanderloo is the head of OEC Group in Milwaukee. Really appreciate your time, James, in helping us navigate through these times. And I know we will have you back very, very soon. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thanks a bunch, guys.
We got news coming up next, and then when we come back, Audio Sorbet talking technology. Are you the helper or the helpee? That's me. That's all coming up. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
93.5 The Tap. Eau Claire's real news and great conversation. And home for the Todd Allball Show. Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has released its wolf population estimates for 2025. According to the data released last week, the DNR estimates that there are approximately 1,200 gray wolves in the state this year. The total is about 100 fewer than the 2024 estimates, which wildlife researchers say could be a sign of the wolf population reaching its capacity. Managing the wolf population has become a controversial topic, especially in northern Wisconsin, where farmers have complained of the wolves targeting their livestock. Governor Tony Evers has announced he is seeking a formal court order to force the Republican-controlled state legislature to comply with a recent Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling on the administrative rulemaking process. The state's highest court had decided the legislature overstepped its power by obstructing 9 of 12 administrative rules approved by Governor Evers from going into effect. The Joint Committee on Legislative Organization had directed the Legislative Reference Bureau not to publish the rules, essentially blocking them. The Rice Lake Elks Lodge is inviting area residents to properly retire their worn-down American flags over the weekend. The organization will offer the flag retirement service with assistance from a local Boy Scout troop on Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. in the banquet hall of the Rice Lake Elks Lodge. Residents can bring their flags that have been worn down or tattered over time as part of the community outreach event. The flags will be burned and the ashes buried for a proper and dignified disposal rather than being thrown in the trash. Congressman Derek Van Orden is threatening to withhold federal funding for the city of Eau Claire due to a social media post involving two city council members regarding Charlie Kirk's death. In a social media post, Congressman Van Orden said, quote, federal dollars will not be going to support communities that have hate mongers celebrating the assassination of American citizens and their leadership. Congressman Van Orden also introduced legislation on Monday he says would prohibit federal funding for entities that employ individuals who condone and celebrate political violence and domestic terrorism. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A true Hollywood icon has passed away. Robert Redford died September 16th at his home in Sundance, Utah. Redford was born in Santa Monica, California in 1936. Prior to his acting career, he played college baseball, worked in oil fields in California, and studied painting in Europe. He got his first television role on Alfred Hitchcock Presents, then landed a role on Broadway in Neil Simon's The Way We Were. He would later play opposite Barbara Streisand in the movie version as well. He followed that up with his breakout role in Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid opposite Paul Newman. Redford was an accomplished director and producer in addition to his acting talents. His credits included All the President's Men, The Sting, Sneakers, and The Natural. Redford won a slew of awards in his career, including an Oscar for Best Director for the film Ordinary People and an honorary Oscar in 2002 for directing, acting, producing, and founding the Sundance Institute. He was also presented with the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Barack Obama. Robert Redford was 89 years old. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Still staying unseasonably warm today with highs climbing to the mid-80s. The chance of showers and storms returning by early evening. They do look to keep us damp through the night, leaving us tomorrow with mostly cloudy skies, highs cooler, flirting with 80, and more showers and storms by the afternoon. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. The deadline clock is ticking in Washington, D.C. on a spending bill when we have a government shutdown. We'll discuss it with Pat Kreitlow of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow and Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, Maggie Dawn. Maggie Dawn Show 4 to 6 across the network. In the 5 o'clock hour, she's going to talk about insurance premiums.
Oh, boy.
And what those could like, especially for people in the ACA.
Yes, when we talked about that last week, and right now Senator Baldwin, as well as a senator from New Hampshire whose name escapes me right now, is trying to help those who are on the ACA.
Because if those premiums could go up.
Double.
Yep.
What ours will already go up.
Yeah.
If you have traditional access to health care, that is.
So, again, join Maggie today. She's going to talk to State Senator Kristen Dessler-Alfheim from the Fox Valley. Later on today, 4 to 6, Maggie Dawn Show across the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the portion of the show where we try to get away from politics and the heavy things and just take a breath. We call it audio sorbet.
Ooh.
Where we lighten your...
What?
We clean your...
just let me do the line.
I'm sorry.
Audio sorbet. We clean your ears with fun.
I think we need an opener. I think that should
yeah,
be the opener.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Audio sorbet today, 855-752-4842. We would love to hear from you. Technology, are you the helper or are you the helpee? Seems to be there's usually one person in the household. Can you help me do this thing that I don't understand?
I can't sign into the thing. What's our password?
How do I do that thing?
Why do I have to update the... what's firmware?
855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We talk about this because I am the help. I need help. In so many ways.
It's like a Taylor Swift song. Hi, I'm the help. It's me.
I need the help. Yes. The call is coming from inside the house.
And you don't know how to answer that call,
exactly,
Jane.
Exactly. I can't get to my voicemails, which was a thing that came up yesterday with Craig. I go to get my voicemail and it says, enter the passcode.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a passcode for my voicemail.
You don't have a passcode for your virtual voicemail.
Which I never... asked for.
You don't have a choice. You just get it. It's on your phone. It's been around since the iPhone came out, like nearly 20 years ago.
I don't want it.
It's not a good or bad thing. It's not something you pay for. It's not like it's coming to take your...
It's confusing me.
Okay. All right. Okay. Just for the record, Jane Matinair is not 1,000 years old either. You make it seem like I don't understand technology. You're not that old.
But in some areas, I feel helpless.
Okay.
Well, I do. And I maybe I am the only one who still thinks that I can break my computer. If I download, I went to a gaming platform. Calvin can back me up on this because he knows I'm a legitimate gamer. Right, Calvin? Calvin?
Right.
Thank
Jane
you.
Is a gamer.
He is a gamer. I am a gamer. And so I went to Steam, which is a gaming platform.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like an app store.
Yeah.
And there is a prototype of a game that's coming out on the 23rd that I wanted to play, and I tried to download it yesterday and I think I broke something.
You didn't break anything.
That's what Calvin said.
Yeah. You didn't break anything.
But it's not working.
The game isn't working. But we figured out why the game isn't working, because you're not using the right operating system, or the compatible operating system for the demo. Welcome to Greg and Calvin Fix Jane's Technology. This really isn't an audio sorbet. It's more like geek squads, but for radio.
Just a geek squad for me. I know I am not the only one. 855-752-4842. Are you the helper Or are you the technology help E?
Yeah.
Maybe I am the only one. 855-752-4842. PJ on the live stream says, since I have an IT degree, I have always been the help desk of my family and friends. I bet, PJ, you can't escape it.
If that's going to be the case, fine. You're a good person for helping out. But I would go one step further if this is the scenario you find yourself in, which is, all right, you want some help? You need to submit a help desk ticket. Tell me your problem. I'll get to it when I can. And then, PJ, present to them a bill.
They don't have
to pay the bill. They just have to understand that as Abraham Lincoln once said, a lawyer's advice is their stock and trade. Know what your stock and trade is. If you're giving out free help, I'm getting real mean right now. I don't know why, but I just feel like if people are coming at you for your expertise, they should understand that you charge for this.
You charge for it. Yeah. Calvin, you must be the helpy in your household. You're pretty tech.
Help or.
Yes, you're the helper in your household because you're pretty tech savvy.
Yes, I am the helper. And I will say, usually you would think the helper is the youngest. That's not exactly true. I'm the oldest of three kids.
Yeah.
And we're all pretty close, so it's not like there's a technological gap or anything.
Right.
But I consistently have to help my younger brother. I'll give my sister credit. She's pretty self-sufficient. But my younger brother is always like, can you help me figure this out? And I will say the biggest frustration is when I don't know how to do it and I Google it and it's like you are just as capable of Googling things as I am.
See, and I think we've gotten to the root problem here with this, Calvin, is that your brother says, can you help me? He knows you'll say yes, so he's less inclined to simply type into his device that he probably needs help with to say, how do I do this thing? Because he knows you'll do it for him.
So you are essentially becoming my mother in telling me to go look it up.
Yes. Yes, that is the new, yeah.
That is the new go look it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I will say,
okay,
you can Google as good as I can excuse for my brother and sister works. In a lot of cases, it is a lot more efficient for me to Google something as opposed to my dad Googling it. So I will say I have some skills with Google that are beneficial to others.
Well, and I have Googled things for help, but sometimes I find the help suggestions more confusing than the problem that I started with.
Well, and that's, I will say this, that is maybe one of the benefits of using AI in the internet webosphere. That's right. I said that is that when I look up things for instructions, like a lot of times, like you're using a piece of software, it will lay out the instructions steps very well, or at the very least give you a link to go find somewhere else. So in the world of, especially in, like, you know, if you're looking for a printed version of YouTube University, you want the step-by-step. That's where AI can be helpful. And you kind of can't get away from it nowadays with Google. They shove AI at the very
at
top.
At you, yes.
But yeah, I mean, definitely. If it was my brother or sister, Calvin, I could definitely say Google's free, my dude. But to your dad, I get that. Now, I'm very unique in the situation of I never have to help my mother with any of that stuff.
Really?
My mother has been both tech savvy as well as very tech open-minded for a long time. We had a computer. She had to have a computer at home for work, so we always had a computer. She made herself aware of how they work so she could fix them if she needed to.
For her.
Yeah, so I've never had to really help her with any technology. Maybe something with a television, because televisions always change. And even sometimes I'm stumped because I feel like, especially with televisions, I'm like, my thought is, I just want to watch this. Why are you making everything so difficult right now? So I am very, very lucky. In our house, in between my wife and I would say neither. I don't have to help her either. Like, it's pretty self-explanatory. Our devices are very simple anyways. It's not like I'm sitting here cracking codes and rewriting operating systems. I'm like, oh, just try pressing that button. It's literally a series of guesses until I get to where I need to go.
But again, you're doing it with the confidence that you're not going to somehow break your system.
That, and also I'm doing it with the confidence that I could eventually get to the point where I have to say, I don't know. For me, the fix is not the all-encompassing goal. It's about, let me rephrase that. The fix is the goal. Getting there without feeling like I don't know something is fine. If I have to look it up or I say you have to ask somebody else, that's sure. Fine by me.
Sure. 855-752-4842, our audio sorbet today. When it comes to technology, are you the helper or are you the helpee in your household? I am definitely the one asking for help.
Yeah.
855-752-4842. My mother is no longer with us, but I know my sister Kathy used to spend so much time with her just to get emails.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I can't go on right now.
You're going to incriminate someone?
I don't want to. I mean, I will say this. I know somebody who I have helped a few times. Not a lot, but I've gone with my friends to their house. Special trips to almost do a kind of a, all right, what do we need to work on?
Should we go through the basics, giving them a basic class?
Well, not even basic class. Honestly, no. At that point, the last time I did it a couple of years ago, I was like, I'm happy to stop by and help because, you know, it's a good visit. It's a good hang. And I'm fine with doing it. They're not far away. But it's just about like, all right, kind of give me the roundup of what we need to do. Do we need to switch the TVs? Do we need to do this? Do that? Blah, blah, blah. And we take care of it. It's done. Because honestly, calling them.
I might as well just jump
off a building.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to relay those instructions is almost worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 855-752-4842. PJ on the live stream says, yes, my family and friends do compensate my services with food or money.
I love that.
Well, that's good, PJ. Glad to hear that.
Know your worth.
Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Are you the helper or are you the helpee when it comes to technology?
But I would prefer when I ask my kids for help, if they would explain how to do something rather than get upset and say, well, you just, this is it. If they would explain it so that I could do it myself the next time.
Yeah. So if they would take you through, if they would take you through the steps.
Well, and Ollie, I would even take it one step further. Now, I'm not going to delve into the interactions between your family. I understand the frustrations on both sides, but I think in this situation, and I've done this before for other people, writing it down step by step is great too.
That helps.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
Yes.
And especially if you're face to face, because you go, I mean, I think we've all been there where you get on Google and it says, all right, go to this thing and tap this button and look for the thing that says this. And it doesn't say that because they've changed it because the instructions are old. So I think Ollie, like if they have to help you, like sit down together, write the step by step. That way you have something to refer to. You don't have to call them. I mean, call them if you want. They're your family. But it just makes it easier for you. Then you don't have to be waiting for help or waiting for a response.
And again, it's empowering, Ollie, right? If they teach you how to do the steps, that is a little more empowering than just having it done for you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Ollie. Appreciate it. And our last shout out goes to Casper, one of our engineers at Civic, who says, welcome to my life.
You signed up for it, buddy. You signed up
for it. Hey, Casper, I got a question for you about Steam. I'll call you later. Stay with us when we come back. We will wrap it up as we do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Firefest, What Could Go Wrong This Time edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's go, Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a 4-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday. On your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joe Zepecki.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about, we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board. Coming to you from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we went to the break, we had audio sorbet. We were talking about technology. And if you are the helper or the helpee in your household, and we had one last email, one last text that came in that we wanted to share.
Yes, Kurt from Eau Claire, listening to WCFW, says, I'm the go-to guy in my family. My dad got a new cell phone. He called me after frustration with the new phone provider. Then he got a new TV. I soon got a call saying, I can't get anything. Of course, it's always selecting the correct input. And that's what I always find to be the chief problem, is just that one thing that's either clicked wrong or missed completely.
The cable's in the wrong thing.
And sometimes I'll even like work a little harder when really you just like open and go, it's fixed. You don't want to make it feel.
You want to make them feel bad.
Exactly. It's like, there you go. We're done. No problem. Let's talk. How's family?
That's nice. Yeah. That's nice.
Thank you for getting in touch, Kirk.
Yep. Yeah. Appreciate it. Hey, Brewers action coming up later on today. Our broadcast will start at 6:05 as the Brewers host the Angels. You can listen on terrestrial radio. You can't listen on the stream, but catch it on WRCE in Richland Center, WCQM in beautiful Park Falls, WBZA WRJH in Hayward and also here in Racine and Kenosha on WRJN. Our broadcast of the Brewers hosting the Angels starts tonight at 6:05. Coming up tomorrow, because it's Thursday, Jim Santel, our friend and colleague, host of Amicus, a law review, will be here after the 9:30 news. We'll talk about lots of cases in the courts, stalled in the courts, working their way through the courts.
Some decisions coming through this week, too. Yep. So,
James Vanderloo also mentioned that about the tariffs. That is still going through the courts. So that and Brittany Merlot will be here with Weather and Wine in hour number two. Beautiful summer day here right now in southeastern Wisconsin.
Just wait.
And and J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, their sports guru, will be here after 10:30 to talk all things sports. I'm sure we'll talk about the Brewers and the Packers and much, much more. Right now, though, Calvin, it is 10:55. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. janesays@civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one from CNBC. No one with the byline. No one wants to own this one. LimeWire acquires Fyre Festival, asking, what could possibly go wrong? Again. We've talked about the Fyre Festival before.
This story will not go away.
Boy, they just keep thinking there's a way to make money on this.
Yeah, it's just let it go. Seriously, there are reasons why shows are canceled after one season.
For those who do not know, give us a brief overview of the debacle that has been Fyre Fest 1, 2, 3, and now 4.
Well, this was the attempt at Fyre Fest 2, but Billy McFarlane is the man who put on Fyre Fest 1, and 1 was all we needed, where he put together a festival on an island, and it cost a lot of money.
Big money.
The problem is that either artists were pulling out or never signed up, and people got there, and it was inconvenient.
No accommodations. There were no toilets. There was no food and water. I don't know, basic things.
Yeah, so it was and he went to jail for it, too. And then he got out of jail, Billy McFarlane. Yeah, that's his real name. He's an adult calling himself Billy McFarlane. He got out and said he's going to do Fyre Fest 2. Well, Fyre Fest 2 was great, but the problem was he had gotten no permits, and the government of the island he was going to use said, yeah, he can't do that here. Oops. And so that fell apart, too. So then he sold Fyre Fest, the brand, for was $245,000, and now LimeWire, you know, the thing you illegally downloaded music off of in the 90s and 2000s, it was like, that's like, it's like C-tier Napster. They bought the brand because they think they can do something.
It's funny that you
say they made two documentaries on this.
The opening paragraph in this article, LimeWire, the file sharing service that set the internet ablaze in the 2000s before being shut down for copyright infringement, said it is acquiring the rights to Fyre Festival, and it appreciates the irony. LimeWire acquires Fyre Festival brand. What could possibly go wrong? From the company release.
Do you think what's going to happen is that LimeWire got Fyre Festival and they're just going to put it on their system as Bonnaroo and people will just download it and then get sued again because they don't have anything original? Seriously, this story, Jane, made me find out that LimeWire was still around. I figure they were gone. Please, the internet, stop making us talk about Fyre Fest.
For years, LimeWire operated as a competitor to Napster before effectively being shut down in 2020 after a judge ruling it had done naughty, naughty, big-scale copyright violations. And then it was purchased in 2022 by some Austrian brothers who turned it into an NFT.
Oh, God, even worse.
LimeWire CEO Julian Zettmeier says Fyre became a symbol of hype gone wrong. It also made history. We are not bringing the festival back. We're bringing the brand and the meme back to life.
Read the first sentence of that quote again.
Fyre became a symbol of hype gone wrong, but it also made history.
Yeah, so let's invest.
I know, right?
Standing in front of a group of people, why should I invest? Because this was a branding that went wrong. Let me tell you more.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We have news coming up next. Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228DP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Former CDC Director Susan Menares is telling Congress she was told to sign off on vaccine recommendations without reviewing them by Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Even under pressure, I could not replace evidence with ideology or compromise my integrity.
Kennedy has denied it. Back for a second day on Capitol Hill, FBI Director Kash Patel.
In my 16 years, now my 17 years of government service, if anyone has any questions about my service, bring it on.
He's telling House Democrats the FBI has been transparent on the Jeffrey Epstein case. A suspect is in custody after a car was rammed into a security gate at an FBI office this morning in Pittsburgh. Nobody was hurt. In the United Kingdom, President Trump welcomed by King Charles at Windsor Castle on the first full day of his state visits. CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.